Paul says in verse 1 of chapter 3, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of God, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away, for of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." And then over to chapter 4 and verse 1, he continues, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." And we end there at verse 8, and we pray that God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. We've been thinking about the college's role in the work of the gospel. And we've seen that it is a vital role. But we've also seen that we all have a role to play when it comes to the gospel. The question is, what is that role? What is the church's role in society? What's the church's role in the work of the gospel? Why is the church here? Just as there has been confusion in the past about the work and the role of the college that has led to criticism, so too there is great confusion regarding the church's role, which has likewise produced a great deal of criticism. For example, we hear a lot of criticism about what the church is or isn't doing, what it's doing or not doing in society. Often it's criticism of our lack of involvement in solving society's problems. We don't speak out enough. We don't make enough effort at reconciliation. We've become irrelevant. There's violence, hatred, breakup of family life, moral and legal breakdown. And we're told that the church must carry a lot of responsibility for that, because it has remained aloof from these things. The great danger is that we can be tempted to accept this criticism, that somehow we have misread our calling. Somehow we have not done enough. But should we, as the Church of Christ, be feeling guilty about the state of our society? Is that our responsibility? In answer to that question, the first crucial issue that we need to grasp is this: that society and its leaders do not set the agenda for the church. Society and its leaders do not set the agenda for the church. The church does not belong to them. It is not accountable to them. And it must never be controlled by them. The church belongs to Christ. He bought it with his blood. He is its sole head. It will give account to him. And he has set its agenda, its role. And that role, that agenda, is a spiritual one. It's not a political or a social agenda. Whilst the church should have a social conscience, the church is neither a social service nor a political party. So what then is its role? Well, the church's role is clearly set out in the teaching of God's word and in the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, its head, and the one whose image it is to reflect. The divine agenda for the church is threefold. First of all, to share the gospel, to train the believers, and to reflect the Lord. To share the gospel, to train the believers, and to reflect the Lord. Functions presented in Scripture and practiced by the early church. First of all, in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, we see that it is to share the gospel. Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Let's remind ourselves for a moment of the society that Jesus ministered to as he traveled this scene of time. The country was occupied by a foreign power, Rome. There was rebellion and terrorism. Immorality was rampant. The rich abused the poor. The weak in society were left to survive as best they could. Religion was pagan, Roman, or dead Judaism. Justice was corrupted. It depended on your position or your ability to pay. People were sold into, born into, lived and died in slavery. There was no health service, no trade unions, no Bill of Rights. In this world of ills and evils, Jesus ministered and he sent his church to minister. So given the state of the society, what was the charge? What is the role that he gave them? Well, they're told to go into this world with all its misery and injustice and social need and to preach the good news of the gospel. The message that they were to bring to this downtrodden society was not a radically political change. It was not about social reform. Yes, it would affect the attitudes to the state and to their condition, but it had a more crucial role than that. It would affect their souls. It would affect their eternal future. It wasn't a message of reform. It was a message of radical rebirth. It was a message that whatever their physical condition, whatever their social position, they had a more important, a more serious spiritual condition that needed to be dealt with. They were, in fact, sinners before a holy God. A God who was angry with them. A God who would judge them and eventually punish them eternally for their sin. And yet at the same time, it was a message of a God who loved them. A God who sent his Son to die for them. Who was raised up again and who offered forgiveness and salvation and eternal life to all who would turn away from their sin and commit their lives to him. In the midst of their terrible conditions, politically and socially, and they were terrible. This was the message that God had for them. This was the role that God gave His church. Share the gospel. Share the gospel. And it was the sharing of this gospel and its effect upon their lives that turned the world upside down. Eventually turned it around. Turned around many of the social and religious and political ills of society. Now, nowhere in God's word do we read that the church's role has changed. Nowhere. Still the same. Our message to our society in our age, with all of its ills, social and political and religious, is still the gospel. The good news. The message of a Savior who transforms lives. That's the only message that God has given us to bring to them. The answer to the world's needs is not social reform. It's not tougher laws. It's not new government. It's Christ. It's Christ. The problem is, society doesn't want the message the church has to offer. Society doesn't want the God that we have to offer. Because it's self-centered. It's sin-crazed. It's openly hostile to all that the church is and all that the church has to say. Someone has described it as like the man who is dying of thirst, throwing the life-giving water in the face of his would-be deliverer. The man dying of thirst, throwing the life-giving water in the face of his would-be deliverer. So the church avoids the issue by criticizing, or the society rather, avoids the issue by criticizing the church. Criticizing it for not being what society wants it to be. For not doing what God never intended it to do in the first place. You only have to think of some of the tragic events of recent years. Everyone remembers September 11. Here we have a society that wants to cut God out of everything. But immediately disaster strikes, and what's the response? Where was God when this happened? We don't want God when He makes demands, but when things go wrong, we want to know where He is. You see, doing what society says won't solve society's problems. But society doing what Christ says, trusting Christ, will solve its problems. Jesus says the role of the church in the 21st century is just the same as it was in the first century. Share the gospel. That means every member, because we are all the church. Every member sharing the gospel. Secondly, we're told to train the believers. Matthew 28 and verse 19 says, Jesus says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Train the believers. The second function of the church, Jesus says, is to make disciples. Having shared the gospel and seen people coming to saving faith in Christ, the church is to take those new converts and train them in the things of God. The church is not a social club, it's a bodybuilding club. Building the body of Christ. The image of the church in Scripture is of a body made up of many parts, and all of those parts working together to build each other up in the things of God. It's also described as a building of living stones, again linked together, supporting each other. Members who are God's workmanship. Those on whom he continues to work. Those whom he continues to improve and to bring to perfection. God has gifted his church. He has given the resources to carry out this task. Paul reminds the Ephesians of this in chapter 4 and verse 11. That God has appointed apostles and pastors and evangelists for the equipping of the people of God, or the saints of God, for the work of ministry. For the building up of the body of Christ. The church is a training ground where men and women are trained in the things of God. Where they're taught to live the way God requires. Where they are developed into the people that God wants them to be. This training, this building up involves many things. Instruction in the truth of God. Correction when the immature and sometimes the mature go astray. Compassion when the pain and the hurt comes. Provision for the practical needs of its members. And all of this training has a twofold effect. It will affect society because it will take sinful, selfish, rebellious citizens and by the power of God make them new creatures, changing their morals, their attitudes, their outlook, their behavior, their desire, their approach to others and to life itself, transforming all of that. And then it will return them to live transformed by the power of God in society as much better citizens, as a benefit to society, in living out the teaching of Christ where they were once a liability, they become a source of blessing. What a transformation. And secondly, they in turn will reach out into the world with the same message of the gospel. The message that reached and saved them. And so the church will positively influence society through the transforming of individuals by the power of Christ. And placing those transformed lives back into society to act as an influence for good on others. Jesus says the church's role is to share the gospel. The church's role is to make disciples, not political statements. And thirdly, the church's role is to reflect the Lord. Paul, writing to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18 says, "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory." And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. If our society is to be changed, if we are to have peace and morality and an end to lawlessness, it won't be achieved by politicians, by social leaders, by law enforcement agencies. Won't be brought about by better conditions or stiffer laws or less poverty or more education, much as those things are needed. It will only be achieved by the saving power of Christ upon people's lives. And the church's role is to reflect the image of Christ to a world that at best has forgotten and at worst has chosen to ignore him completely. The Jesus who walked this earth in the midst of all the conditions that we saw earlier was not a revolutionary, either politically or socially. He never made political statements. He never set up a political party. He never called upon people to stand up for their rights. The only peace movement that he was concerned with was that people would have peace with God and the peace of God in their lives. He preached forgiveness. He showed compassion. He exposed sin by the purity of his own life. He displayed love for others. He acted in humility. When badly treated, he did not retaliate. He revealed God to men. And the role of the church in a godless society is to do the same. To reveal Christ. To reflect the image of the Lord Jesus Christ through our lives. To show them a God of compassion by our compassion. To show them a God of love by our love for each other and for others. To show them a God of forgiveness by our forgiveness of each other and others. The only image, let's not forget, the only image that society has of Christ and his transforming power is the one that it gets from the church. We are to expose society's sin by the purity of our lives. And then we are to explain the way of salvation that can make their lives pure as well. The image of the Lord that the church is to reflect is one of purity, of truth, of righteousness. Not compromise, or carelessness, or callousness, or casualness. Jesus didn't take his stand with the religious leaders of his day. He didn't look for the lowest common denominator so that he could present the united front to a pagan world. He didn't treat his responsibilities to the Father in a careless or an indifferent way. He didn't grow weary in well-doing. Not at all. He stood for truth, for purity. Even though it challenged the church leaders of his day. Even though it meant criticism and problems for himself. He carried out his purpose with zeal, with total commitment, even though it meant the cross. Of course, that's very far from the image that society wants to see. It would have the church like itself. Have it conform to its image of compromise. Forget about truth. Forget about righteousness. Don't be too zealous. Don't be too keen. Don't be too dogmatic. But that's not the church's role. Jesus says we are to reflect his image. Not the distorted image that society wants to see. The image that makes it feel good about itself and about its sin. The church's role is to reflect the image of the Lord. So, is the world justified in its criticism of the church? Well, insofar as the church is not doing what society wants, it's not compromising, watering down its demands, being a social service, yes, it is justified. Should we feel guilty about that? Should we be trying to shift our purpose? Certainly not. Certainly not. Because the head of the church states very clearly that its role, its divine agenda, is not political or social, but spiritual. Spiritual. He says it is to share the gospel, to train the believers, to reflect the Lord. And as long as we carry out this purpose, then we have no cause for guilt. If we stray from this purpose, then we have every cause to be alarmed. Share the gospel. Train believers. Reflect the Lord. That's the church's part in the work of the kingdom. Is this how we are fulfilling our role? Or have we been following our own agenda? Doing things our way, picking and mixing to get something that suits us, something that we are comfortable with. If we have, then we've been guilty of changing the role that Christ has specified for the church. We've been guilty of distorting the image of the Savior that we present. As far as society is concerned, its problems have less to do with the church's so-called failure and more to do with its own rejection of the gospel message. As we said earlier, the reality is society doesn't want the church's message. It wants a church of its own making that will make it feel comfortable about itself and its sin. Let's be careful. Let's be careful that we don't allow society's criticisms and pressures to set the agenda, to dictate the role, to influence the behavior of the church. And let's be careful also that we don't allow our own worldliness to cause us to change or distort the church's role by making it what we want it to be. Something that doesn't make too many demands upon us, that isn't too hard on our carelessness, that puts up with our indifference and our lack of commitment. As the children of God, we are the church. And God has given us a role to share the gospel, to train the believers, and to reflect Christ. Again, let's ensure that we don't allow criticism from the world or coldness in ourselves to sidetrack us from the divine agenda. Rather, may we be as faithful in fulfilling Christ's role for us as He was in fulfilling His Father's role for Him in making us a part of this great church. That we might see His kingdom extended and His name glorified.